نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي والبر. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم. أما بعد،
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Rajab, this last night of Jummah in Rajab, Allah has granted this to us. And in this condition, that in the form of an assembly, a gathering in the house of Allah, we are gathered here for the remembrance of Allah. Despite this, away from this, we have no other intention. We have no intention apart from this, that in these special moments, this month that has passed, about which the Holy Prophet ﷺ did dua for barakah, blessings, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, with goodness, in a nice way, with blessings, barakat, this month is about to end. And we do dua to Allah, the month to come, which is Sha'ban. Allah also grants that month to us with blessings, so that we can nicely, safely, with regards to the month, the real month that is to come, which is a great reward on the ummah, A very great reward on the ummah. Until that month comes, may Allah save us from negligence, from laziness, from tragedies, from sicknesses, from distresses, from sorrows, from calamities, and with strong iman, with strong belief, without any disturbance of life, may Allah grant us Ramadan. How great a month is Ramadan if we think about it. That 2 months in advance, the Holy Prophet ﷺ did dua and told the ummah the method. Told his nation the method of how to value that month. That don't pass through that month with laziness, holidays, enjoyment, shaitani actions, distractions. All year long we do that anyway. Such honorable sacred nights come. Such great days Allah Ta'ala grants to us. But we pass through them with negligence, with laziness, ignorance. Ignorance. And now we're sat on the night of Jummah. This is not some small night. It's a great night. The value of this night, those who value this night and understand its value, we in reality don't know the value of this night. This is the company of the pious predecessors, that due to their blessings we are gathered in this night. We don't understand. We don't even know what is the night of Jummah. We don't realize ourselves, but by sitting in the company of the good people, pious people, the walis of Allah, there's a big benefit. There are many things we don't know, we don't realize. We don't know. But then we learnt, okay, the pious predecessor did this, okay, we'll do the same. Then after that, when the hadiths unravel, when the fadail, the virtues we learn, then a person gets shocked that where I am a sinful person, look at my words, look at my deeds, and look at this reward of Allah, this grace of Allah, this opportunity. the few hours we give to Allah according to His desire and selection. So big rewards Allah has given to us just for these few hours. How many people right now, my brothers, are there just this many people in Bolton? Think about it. Just this many people who are sitting here are in Bolton? To get good deeds, how many people have come? According to Allah Ta'ala's selection and choice, how many people have come here? Much we make a fuss to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, today look at the Muslim Ummah, the Muslims are being trod upon, this has happened to the Muslims, we're behind, we're failing, we've got the Kaaba, we've got Medina, we drink Zamzam, we eat the dates, and that's it. That's all we do. More than that, we have no claim to anything. And when it comes to practice, deeds, then the amount of people shrivels. Shrivels, reduces, shrinks. We can't see any Muslim around us when it comes to deeds, practice. Everyone runs away. Everyone scarpers. No realization of what are the deeds. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith regards to that such a time will come. The Sahaba were amazed, taken aback. Such there will be Muslims in the Ummah. They were surprised. Yeah? There will be so much in quantity, but there will be nothing inside them. They will be like dry pieces of twig. You know, dry twigs, dry piece of wood. Just temporary, worldly, materialized, nothing else. Allah says, I'll send them Ramadan. They'll want to spend that with holidays. I'll give them 2 months in advance, prepare, and in their preparation, they'll be enjoying themselves with luxuries of the world. They'll be enjoying this, on rejoicing, intoxicated. Lahu lahab. Imagine how we've been told this. You know, when the Lut people were sent, the adab, punishment, the people of Lut, they were holidays, rejoicing, and they said, oh, these clouds have come, cool winds have come, let's go on holidays. Just like, we're holidays now, we're on holidays. We book the flights. In Ramadan we do this as well, sad to say. Rather, that when the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, put your hands up to do dua for barakah, blessings from Rajab, after that person should forget everything else. After that, I've got nothing else to do. Day and night, spending ibadat, worship, and our ruh, our heart purified, clean. Everything else in the dunya, stop it, delay it, postpone it. But where's the Muslim who thinks about that? No worries at all. Do as you like. What a great statement that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Rajab did dua. Did dua, Allah give us blessings in Rajab. And then today's Muslim enjoys himself. Yeah? And Allah said, La'umraka, O my Mahbub, Allah gave a promise. And when you swear on something, you swear on that thing which is most beloved to you. So most beloved to you, you will swear by that person, isn't it? When you're trying to convince someone. So Allah swore by the Prophet, Allah had no need to do that, to give, but to tell the dunya that I also have a beloved and a dear to me, Allah is saying. I also love someone, Allah says. Allah says in the Quran, I will tell you, La'umraka. I won't swear by His name, it's so great, His name. I won't swear by Him, His life. I will swear by His age, His number of years, Allah says. Imagine the love and the how Allah Ta'ala has presented His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can anyone think? Imagine. Allah Ta'ala is swearing by the life of the Prophet. Today's mu'min, he jokes about the sunnah of the Prophet. Imagine, he jokes about the imamah. He doesn't dare to keep the beard. He is ashamed of the dress code of the Prophet. He discards and shuns the sunnahs of the Prophet. And he runs after those people who are opposed to the Prophet. And he says, I'm a strong Muslim. There's no one stronger than me in the world as a Muslim. Look, I've booked my flights for Umrah. I've booked my flights. I just came back from Tawaf. I'm a strong Muslim. O servant of Allah, at least think this. Who are you opposing in your life? How are we living in this world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I swear by the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me, imagine everything of his life, how valuable it'll be, priceless. Priceless. How priceless will be the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why? Because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did he do anything of his own accord. For example, when there's a child, a mother loves the child will wear, put the clothes on the child that the mother likes. Ask any mother. Oh, I don't want this. I want my child to wear this color. Not this. I want this to put onto my child, onto my children. And the father doesn't select, it's the mother who selects. And she gets the children ready. And she puts the surma in the eyes of the children. And she puts the tikka on the children. And then she kisses the forehead of the child after preparing the child, because she has love for the child. So if Allah is swearing by the life of the Prophet ﷺ, then He will have selected the dress code and appearance of the Prophet ﷺ. He will have selected the imamah. He will have selected the sheets and the shawls and the blankets, because wearing will be the Prophet ﷺ. Allah says, I'm happy looking at you. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. Tell me about this example. And today's Muslim says, no, I like this. Oh, I'm ashamed of this. I'm ashamed of this sunnah. This ain't necessary. But wearing the tie and the suit, then we'll come to Jummah. Allahu Akbar will say, standing in the saf. Oh Allah, please accept. Yeah, that Allahu Akbar. The whole saf is full of the people opposed to the deen. You'll see it tomorrow in Jummah. Nowhere will you see a person who's dressed in the dress code of where Allah said, I swear by his life. Say Subhanallah. After hearing such things, Allah Ta'ala gathers us for this purpose, to hear these things. Why? Because Allah said that this is not, I will send those people who listen and they'll rejoice and be happy when they hear these things. So Allah selects those people on the night of Jummah. Allah selects. Allah Ta'ala says, listen the words of O Faqir, O my beloved servant, who's speaking about Rasulullah. Listen to his words. Listen to his words. And he doesn't know where he's going. Where am I going? Where will I sit down this evening? He doesn't know. But Allah pulls us, drags us, because Allah likes each and one of you, that you have some capacity. Maybe the goodness will rub off onto you. Take this topi off, cap off, and wear the imamah. Wear the blessed turban. You also grow your beard to the right length. And these different colors of clothes and weird clothes you wear, you should wear the nice sunnah clothing, white. Allah says, no. He says, no, I don't want to do that. Not that. Same. Yeah, just like the Qawm says, oh, no, don't tell me what to do. Yeah, I know better. Say Subhanallah. This faqir always speaks the truth. This is the gathering of Allah. The instruction is that speak about my Mahbub sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this gathering. Whether someone doesn't like it, but you speak about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says. Speak. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. So Allah drags us here, pulls us here. We don't talk about anything else here. Here we don't talk about fighting, split, sects, Deobandi, Brelvi, fight each other, go against each other, kafir, disbeliever. No. We speak about one thing here, just one topic, and that's it. Start from there and we end from there, the same topic. And what is that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved of Allah. That's what we talk about here. Am I right or wrong? Look at this. Such gatherings, nobody comes to these gatherings. People don't like coming to the gatherings. Yaar, what's this? Is this deen? What deen are you talking about? They start complaining. If this is not our deen, this is not our deen. Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ لَفَتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Allah says, look at my basis of success. My criteria for success. What are you doing for me? Allah says, what prostration are you doing? What salah are you praying? What Ramadan? What fasting? What hajj? What zakat? What are you doing as a believer? Nothing except, Allah says, only one thing. If you want to love me, I will love you. Just one condition. Do and imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Says, imitate my beloved. No, Ya Allah, we can't do that. We'll wear topi, we'll do this, we'll do sins, we won't imitate him. My beard will be like this, my face will look like this, and my libas will be like this. We want to do what we feel like doing. Is this the case or not? Allah Ta'ala says, then fine. Is there any greater verse than this? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ لَفَتَّبِعُونِي O my Mahbub, my beloved Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You tell the Muslims yourself that your God Allah will not be happy with your salah, your hajj, with your zakat, with your Quran, with your recitation, with your tasbih, with your fasting. Allah is not happy with anything. If Allah is happy, He will only be happy when you, O Muslim, imitate my Mahbub Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When you wear, have his appearance like him, wear his turban like him, wear the dress like him, wear have the appearance like him. You'll have to make some sacrifices. People will joke against you, people will mock you, people will criticize you, people will laugh at you. They'll say you're jahil, you're backward. They'll say bad to you, they'll look down upon you, they'll say you have no knowledge. Where's this ilam? We know better than you, we've studied more than you. I've studied Sahih al-Bukhari, I've studied these hadith, they'll laugh at you. And then you at that time, if you, whilst you're practicing sunnah, if you don't lose hope and you're determined, Allah says 100 martyrs reward you will get. 100 martyrs. Stick to the deen. Stick to even the most severe era will come. The most hardest with nothing, no value of our deeds will be weighed. Remember this. Our prostrations will be lacking. Our salah will be deficient. Our ibadah will be deficient. Our Quran recitation will be deficient. The Quran will be saying something. We'll be practicing something else. We'll be kissing the Quran and the juz, and we'll be doing some other practice against the Quran. All our deeds will be against the Quran. Am I right, am I wrong? Tell me. Yes. Yes, we'll tear the pages after reading them, ground them down, but there'll be no practice on the Quran. The whole Quran, you don't need to recite it, Allah says. You don't need to read the whole Quran. Allah says, I'll give you the summary of the Quran. Just a summary. The respected scholars here, ask them. Allah Ta'ala has made it so easy, the Quran, for us. Allah says, I've given you the summary. You know, like you have a book, and the book, you have the preface in the beginning. Preface. Yeah? Introduction. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmideen. Quran said, oh my Mahbub, 7 verses I'm giving to you. Surah Al-Fatiha. Ummul Quran. It is the summary of the Quran, the essence of the Quran. The Quran is sealed in this surah. All of the points that I've mentioned, Allah says in the Quran. Summary, Allah says, I'll put into this surah. That's it. That's the whole Quran summarized. The whole message comes into that surah. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. There's only one path you must follow. What is that path? My Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladina anamta alayhim, Allah says. And that path I'll give you the reward. The reward. Why do you get the reward? You pray salah on Jummah. This is the reward Allah will give. Different. There are two parts. He will not be maghdub or dalin. You should not imitate those. And who's the third then? The third is he that Rasulullah said, those who imitate the Prophet. That's it. Allah says, that's the whole Quran, that's the deen. And I'll tell you the tafsir further beyond this, Allah says. Tafsir, you read, sometimes you hear about Lut and the azab that came in on the people of Lut and the different qawms on Shu'aib, the people of Shu'aib, the azab. And every previous nation, why did punishment come? Because they thought that deen was a joke. Deen was there, what they feel like doing. This is called the tragedies of the dunya, vacations of the dunya, through which they got the calamities and the tragedies. There's no cure. You can't control it when it comes. Yes, I'm telling you one thing now. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. You know, you can't control things when Allah sends something. There's no way. And when it's happening, you know it's happening to you. When it's coming to you, you don't know at all about it. There's no prediction when it comes. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'll explain better. Why are there sicknesses, why are there tragedies or calamities or problems? Nobody knows before they come. And that person with ease goes to his bed, gets up in the morning, and his mouth is, you could say, crooked. In the morning, a person is going, walking somewhere, then he sees that his legs have failed. We don't know about the next inch or the next second of life, what's going to happen. You leave home, and the children, for example, all gone, disappeared. Yes, and there's a whole noise in Bolton that they've died. Do we know the day before that they're going to die? What is this? These are the calamities, the tragedies of life. And they'll try your hardest, all of the dunya, we can control this, so I know that tomorrow this problem is about to come, and for that I can seek protection. Can anybody do that? Predict the next day? Nobody can predict the next day. Nobody knows what's going to happen. This is our life. We have no control. I don't know. For example, when I go in the bathroom, I don't know if I'm going to come out of the bathroom. I could tell you a story. I've told you before, a few times, that there was a scholar, big scholar, and titles, and he's got high level knowledge, and they publicized his event, he's going to give a talk, and the masjid is full, and he's got strength, healthy, alim's coming, they're saying takbir, he comes to the front, and sits down. When he sits down, they said today, mashallah, the other people saying, Allahu Akbar, he sat here, the scholar, and he just pulled himself together, straightened himself, alhamdulillah. That's it. Stop there. End of life. That you cannot control anything. You cannot control that tomorrow, the time to come, what's going to happen to me, or the morning, your legs will fail, your mouth will go crooked, or your tongue will be able to speak. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Death is there. But nobody wants about it. But even before death, the things I'm telling you, the calamities or tragedies, challenges of life, there's no prediction at all what's going to come. We have no news. So these are the reasons why the nations were destroyed. They said, we're going on holiday. There's a cool breeze. The clouds are coming. Like we say, you know, the holidays are coming. Ramadan holidays. Let's book the seats. Let's go Turkey. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's go to a foreign land. Rajab comes, come on, oh, it's Rajab, we don't know about Rajab or Ramadan, nothing at all about the month. Just, Allah says, La'umraka, oh my Mahabub, I swear by your life, your age, that people, whilst they're enjoying the world and the dunya, it's overtaken them. Allah says, then I will give such an intoxication, enjoyment. What's a person enjoy most in life? Money. It's a big intoxication. It never comes off. Money, wealth. When that intoxication of money overtakes a person, it's like tobacco, or worse than that, like drugs. And it goes through the generations, they don't care about it. A big test and trial will happen in life. And what will happen? Allah says that mal and wealth is the biggest test for mankind, and that intoxication never rubs off. You can put 70 Qurans in front of a person, but the love of the dunya will never go from a person. It's a very severe disease. Allah sworn by this, that money, dunya, material things people are enjoying, they're intoxicated by the dunya. When a person's intoxicated, then he doesn't come back to consciousness. What's happening, Ramadan's coming, Rajab's going, what's happening? They don't know. All he knows is about his life. I want to do everything now. Right now I want to do what I want to do. Go out and do what I want. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. Yes. He doesn't know what is Rajab, what is Shaban, what du'as to recite, what is the value of this, why has Allah said this, what's the logic behind this, Allah, what are the hikmah, the wisdom of Allah, Rajab, Shaban, how should we prepare, what should we do, how should we arrive to Ramadan, what will happen if I don't prepare, will I attain Ramadan? We have no value of Ramadan. We don't even know what is Ramadan. Ramadan is just, it comes, pray Taraweeh, that's the end of story. Eat in the morning and burp in the evening. Ah, oh, Ramadan's passed. And just a little bit of ibadah in between. Yes, Ramadan is a reality. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So if there was a small thing 2 months in advance, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us the importance before Rajab, he's saying, do dua for the month of Ramadan. 2 months in advance, tell me what can Ramadan be. But we don't recognize the value and the reality of Ramadan. Not one night, not one moment. Each, every moment, second of Ramadan, we cannot imagine how valuable it is. Every second. Each and every second and moment of Ramadan. Each and every second and minute. And we don't know because we are running after the dunya. But we need to understand this. Why? Because we are intoxicated by the dunya. The dunya, when you're in love with the dunya, there's no cure for that. Yes, have you produced a moment? Have you produced a realization? Do we know? What do we know? Do we know what's going to happen tomorrow? That, for example, maybe you'll hear about your father or your son or your daughter or your mother or yourself. Every moment from Allah, there's a message. Yes, so what can we predict about the future? We can't. So this is what's happening around us. We can see, we'll wake up in the morning and there'll be a storm in our life. This has happened, that person's done this, someone's attacked the Muslims, and this country's about to go, this country's coming. Every moment we can see around us, there are changes taking place. 3 days or one day, if you don't read the news or current affairs, and a gap comes, next time you'll be amazed that this has happened so quickly. So many changes will come in the dunya that rapidly. That person's gone, this person's come, this person's going to come, he's gone. Well, how did these changes come? Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says, though on every footstep I've put, that one step you take, we cannot trust, we don't know, we can't foretell what's going to happen with us. That's why Allah Ta'ala keeps on reminding us that I've made a system for you. That protect yourself. Say subhanAllah. Allah says, I've given you a method. How to protect myself? Read Quran? No. Allah says, do you think that you will protect yourself through this? Allah says, amal, practice. So do this, do wazifa, do this dhikr, recite this. The Quran says, I will tell you how to protect yourself. And nobody does that. That's why this destruction, we don't know what will happen in the morning. And that child, how will he wake up? What will happen to the child? Then maybe he'll vomit, there'll be sickness, or what will happen, or what will not happen? If the doctor, if you sit in the clinic, every day you see a new game. Doctor Sahib, I was sitting, this happened to a child, I don't know what's happened since the morning. Are there cases or not like this? Oh, suddenly, I don't know why this happened, he was fine before, healthy, and he was dizzy, and he fell down. Is this happening or not? The doctor, if he's got a friend, ask him every day in your clinic, morning and evening, what do you observe? But I say with forgiveness, the doctor, because they're so ignorant, they don't even know themselves, they can't read into the signs. He's the person who's the worst. So learn the lesson from your daily patients. If you see a patient, a person I saw in the morning, and my heart was shaking, that he was smart and active in the masjid, there, mashallah, doing the work, and Allah, but his face was crooked. His eyes were open, glared open. And he said, I can't close my eyes, there's a problem. Healthy? No. And I'm going to holiday, I'm going to do this now. We have no realization what's going on in our life. And just like happened to him, it could happen to us tomorrow. Yeah, just, we don't understand. We keep laughing and taking life lightly. We're pestering people, doing wrong to people. Dhulam, we are doing oppression. We are taking the rights of people. We have no realization. Just gather the pounds, collect the pounds, save the pounds. Enjoyment. So sad I saw. He said, I was totally fine, I was healthy, I was just sat down. And then I had like a stroke, my face is crooked, and my eyes glared open. And he said, I can't see now, he's the same person. But when you see a sick person, you should take the lesson from them. So the doctor is such a profession. I don't know if any doctor has sat here, but I ask for forgiveness. The doctor, he should be the strongest mu'min, the doctor. The physician, the strongest mu'min, because every day, every hour, he's getting a message. Day and night, seeing patients, this happened to me, that happened to me. He's curing the patients. Yes, but you're doing it to make money. But what do you know that this dunya, that he has no worry. And he looks at money and wealth, private clinic, and he pulls on the money, £300, £400, £500. He doesn't know. At least take some warning and learning, admonishment, that tomorrow if this happens to you, if your son comes to you as a patient, then can your children not come to you as patients or your family being a doctor? Why? Allah's given him a chance. Daily I was given a chance. Now look, this is something to this person. This could happen to you tomorrow. You've got a chance. Protect yourself. Protect yourself. Say Subhanallah. You're not taking negative what I'm saying, are you? Am I saying the right thing? You're taking, if it's negative for you, then put your hands up and you can go and sit at the back. And I'll ask you forgiveness afterward. But at least me complete the discussion, then I'll ask you for forgiveness at the end. If you dislike what I'm saying. So we should be afraid, we should fear. Ittaqullah. Allah says, fear me. That tomorrow what will happen to me in my life and what lessons will come to me, what challenges will come to me, what trials will come to me, how will my hisab take place, that may I not become a sign of warning for the people around me by taking some punishment from Allah. So when you see somebody who's intoxicated, intoxication isn't just through alcohol, intoxication is by money and wealth and dunya, love of dunya. When you say someone drowning in the dunya intoxication, start to cry, Allah save me from this intoxication of the dunya. This never rubs off. It never rubs off. Allah Ta'ala says, till the grave his love of the dunya will not wear off, his stomach will not feel. Such a severe love of wealth and money comes to the person. They don't know it, but they see them mentally, physically, they becomes deaf and dumb, that person who's in love with the world. For this Allah sworn by the life of the Prophet that they are intoxicated, they're loving the dunya, and this will not rub off that person. So Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to be saved, then there's a cure. Oh Allah, tomorrow, please make our day tomorrow good. Oh Allah, the time to come, please make it good for us. Oh Allah, please don't show us such a challenge, a test, that we see our children and get upset. Allah, don't give us such conditions that we get upset. There's no wazifa, there's no prayer, there's no recitation for this. It's practically, Deen al-Islam is a practical deen. So the Quran tells us that what is the protection. And take the cure. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran has stated with regards to this point, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. And worship your sustainer till death comes to you. We've read this verse thousands of times and we don't understand this. Allah Ta'ala says that, listen. Allah says, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Your Rabb, your Lord, your Creator, maintain and strengthen your relationship with Him. What is servanthood? Is connection, strengthen it, make it solid, robust. Which connection? That was between me and you, Allah Ta'ala says. That my servant, me and you, our connection was very strong, solid, and it still is. And it still is. Allah says, I made you with my hands, the ruh was blown into you, your soul, I created special soil and earth for you, all the angels submitted in front of you, your enemy, shaitan, I rejected him, Allah says. For you, I decorated Jannah, paradise. I made a new world, a new earth. Mountains are made, oceans are made, seas are made. I gave the winds, the breezes. I made fish, Allah says. I made animals. I made eggs for you. I made honey for you. Allah says, me and you, we have a connection, a relationship, a bond. Allah says, is anyone aware of this relationship with Allah? Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the love for Allah. No, love is not for ibadah, not for prostration. Servanthood isn't this. Servanthood is me and you, our connection, Allah says. That's the servanthood. Isn't this, Mulana? Allah says, the relationship between me and you. About which, that talk to me, Allah says. About that, talk to me about your relationship with me, Allah says. Allah says, should never break. Even if death comes, Allah, keep your relationship strong. Don't break that relationship with me, Allah says. Until me and you, as this relationship is established and raised strong, and Allah says, then I am your Rabb. I promise you, no calamities, no tragedies can affect you at all in this life. Do you understand what I'm saying? No problem, no worry. Your Rabb says that I will protect you. I am your protector for that, Allah says. Allah says, it's not in the hands of anything in the world who can protect you or handle it when you have a calamity, an issue. It's only in Allah Ta'ala's hand and His control. Did anyone save the nation of Lut? Did anyone save the nation of Nuh alayhi salam, Noah? No. Did anyone save? Could anyone save them? Fir'aun, when he was drowning, what he thought he was, and he used to make windows in the skies, and when he was drowning, did anybody save him? Nobody could save him. Why? Because Allah says, when I want to save, it's only me who can save anyone and everyone out there. Allah Ta'ala says, if there's anyone who can protect you and save you from any calamity, tragedy, it's only me. That this is your situation, Allah says, you don't know about the next second. Allah says, if you don't have a relationship with me, a connection, that any time you will hear, that person's died, he's been looted, this has happened, he's got a problem, he's got a stroke, or he's vomiting, etc. Every moment you will sit and hear about these events in your life taking place. Do you understand what I'm saying? Allah says, I am the supreme protector. So Allah says, there's only one way. Allah Ta'ala says, one method is your connection, relationship with me. You must strengthen that. Don't make it weak. Allah says, I'll give you ibadat, worship for this reason, so your connection with me does not weaken. What is salah? Tell me. Salah is an action that will strengthen our relationship with Allah. It's a method. Do you understand up to now what I'm saying? So why do we break our connection with Allah? Why did it happen? This is the question. With an example I'll speak to you. With an example. When there's love between two people, and they start to give their all for each other, and they give sacrifice for each other, give and take, then a third thing generates between them. What is that? Jealous people. People who are hasid, envious. Yeah, look how these two people are so happy together. Why have they got a strong bond and relationship? Always you'll see this. In between they'll come, then they do their work. They want to create a split between them, each other, so they can create a rift between them. Put waswasa in both of them, and they make them fight amongst each other. And then those same two people who loved each other become big enemies. Big enemies. And the brotherhood finishes, their business is split, and they separate, and the enmity increases. Why? Because who did that? Then in between, the third person came with the envy, with the hatred, with the malice. Do you understand the example? Very practical example in this real world that we're living in. So the love between Allah and His servant, the connection which on which the human being exists, not Allah, the human being exists on the bond between him or her and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this relationship connection, a third power comes, puts waswasa in the mind of the human being, and that's shaitan who comes with the waswasa and makes the person go far from Allah. He's taken his revenge out, and he promised to Allah that he'd do this. He understood, because he's arif, shaitan, I told you before, he is arif, he has got the knowledge, he is an alim, he is the scholar, he is the abid, he has got irfan. All of those qualities shaitan's got. He's not a small alim, not from Darul Uloom. He was the person in the heavens who taught the angels. Those people today, the scholars, 4 or 5 years, and they become scholars in the madrasa, and then they make a fuss in the dunya that they've got knowledge. Shaitan, he used to teach the angels the knowledge, kitabs. He was their friend, and he used to give them dars. He used to teach them. He had all the ilm. Yeah, although he was from the jinnat. Is this the case or not? So this is what Allah Ta'ala gave to him. No angel was jealous. No angel was jealous, but he became jealous. Shaitan. Yes? Because he didn't have that capacity to understand why Allah Ta'ala made the human being. So then, he said, okay Allah, I understand. I understand, you know, we had love, Allah, you've loved this human being and everyone submitted to him and bowed to him and you're expelling me from paradise. That due to your love of this human being, I'm going to go after this human being. Do you understand the point? You understand? So our relationship, who spoils our relationship with Allah is shaitan who comes and tries to sever our relationship with Allah. And when the servant's connection with Allah ends or reduces or weakens, and there are different classifications, then the hardship comes on that human being. That individual. That's the reason, because he's following shaitan's advices. Every footstep he's insecure in his life. He doesn't know the next step, what's going to happen to me, what shall I do, what shall I not do. Because he doesn't have protection, because his connection with Allah is ended. Allah Ta'ala took the responsibility, that's gone now for that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? So such a life, what's the benefit of that? That's a very temporary life, that whichever airplane you're going onto and you're enjoying yourself and that will just come down one day, will land. You say, oh, he was young, he died suddenly. That's how. Every day we hear about tragedies, challenges. Oh, he was young, he was fine, he was healthy. Nothing about healthy and young in Allah Ta'ala's books. Allah says, how strong was your connection? Your family folk, they didn't have a connection. You yourself don't have a connection with Allah. Allah says, your strength, your relation with Allah should be so strong. Even if death comes, then your relationship with Allah, even then it shouldn't finish. Even at the time of death. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. That's what we should do. Our yaqeen should be to that extent. So he stated that whoever maintains his connection with Allah properly, solidly, he will enjoy life in this world and he will enjoy himself in paradise. He's protected his deen. Today, me and you, if we want to live in this world nice, relaxed, calm, assign everything over to Allah, you are the protector, you are the one who's in control, and go to the bed at night and sleep with ease, and get up in the morning easy, Allah, everything's yours, Allah, whatever occurs, you will decide, Allah. And that happens when the connection with Allah is strong. Robust. But our connection with Allah, if we look at it, assess it. Who makes us leave salah? Because salah strengthens the connection with Allah. Salah, namaz, it strengthens the bond and relationship with Allah. So tell me, how many people are there who don't pray salah? So then, have we not broken our relationship with Allah? Then, when this connection with Allah breaks, that's why the punishments come from Allah. That's why the punishments come, and nobody can ignore that. With that action that generates and develops a relationship with Allah, imagine, salah, that it just creates a temporary, you can say, connection with Allah. It's not every time, is it? All day long. Because when you pray salah finish, connection doesn't strengthen. After hajj, connection stops. After fasting, connection, you can't maintain it. But Allah Ta'ala repeats those deeds. After one, then the next. So the connection re-establishes. Reconnect, the nur comes, and there are qualities that Allah Ta'ala has put into those actions of salah, fasting, hajj. Allah's given a big ibadah. And so shaitan attacks those first and makes us lazy and negligent and leave them. And he says, there's no benefit, better than this, do this now, don't do this now. And he takes the importance of salah out of our hearts. Because Allah Ta'ala said that, Allah Ta'ala hasn't told us, just pray salah. Allah Ta'ala said, just pray salah. Allah hasn't said that. Allah says, aqeemu salah, establish salah in your life. Establish. Isn't this the case, Mullah Nasam? What we just bop and down. We don't even read. We don't pray. How will we establish Salah even if we don't come to the beginning part of it? Allah didn't say pray Salah. Allah said establish Salah in your life. Aqeemu Salah. And there's a big difference between establishing it and just praying. Those who pray Salah come to the masjid and leave. And they establish it in the masjid. Those who say, I'll pray at home, I'll stay at home, just bop up and down, that's it. So to establish that, there's a condition. There are conditions to establish Salah in your life. There are rules we have to follow, principles. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. So who did this? Who did this? That we are the people who just pray Salah, we go on to the back of the queue. Establishing Salah, who's told us not to do that? Shaitan, he is our enemy. He says, Allah, I don't want your human beings to connect to you. I want to take them to hell because I don't want your believers to meet you in the hereafter. Look, will there not be the sight of Allah in the hereafter in paradise? Yes. Who? To the mu'mineen, to the believers. Not every person. Listen to this point as well. Listen to this point as well. Mawlana Sahib, listen to this as well. Yes, don't sit and think, I'll go to Jannah, I'll see Allah. There are conditions for which you have to fulfill those conditions. Those mu'mins will see Allah. There are reasons that, mashallah, they will see Allah. Who? Those people who Fajr and Asr Salah was established strongly, they will see Allah. They will see Allah. You understand? Have you heard this before? Which Salah? Fajr and Asr Salahs. Whether it's a woman or a man. In this, what is the quality? What's the reason? All the salahs are valuable. They're separate. But these two salahs, Allah has mentioned that the result of this, that person who establishes these two salahs, what's the reward? Allah says, they will get the sight of me in paradise. And the greatest negligence, laziness we do with these two salahs. Yes, isn't this not the case, Mulana sir? These two salahs, see, there are very few people in the masjid. Why? Asr time is prime time to eat, to earn money, to work, laziness. Persons in the dunya drink tea. And fajr time, forget it. Don't even ask a person like me. I speak about myself. I know that how lazy I am and slow I am at fajr time. So that's the real struggle. What's laziness? Shaitan attacks mostly the person at that time, fajr and asr, to deviate him from salah. So there are two things there. Salah, our salah, our existence, our being healthy and comfortable. If we have a connection with Allah which is strong, then we'll be comfortable and we'll be saved. And when our connection gets weak with Allah, then we are not saved, we're not secure, then be ready any time. Weird news will come to your life, weird experiences and calamities will come to your life. Weird. Get ready for that. Allah Ta'ala will not leave you happy in the world. Don't think you will be. So you can try your hardest, I want to become happy, I can get happy with this, or I can do this and be happy. Allah will not give us the happiness, comfort. Look at the first point here. In that action that Allah has given protection, salah. Our salah, what is our salah, Allah is asking us? What's the state of my salah? What's the status of my salah? How good is it? Oh, I can't wake up in the morning. Well, this is shaitan. He's attacking. Why will he let your eyes open at the time of Fajr? He doesn't want to, he's our enemy. He's about that. He's not our friend. Every action that makes your connection with Allah weak, it's your enemy behind you, prodding you and encouraging you, not your friend. Your friend. How can we make shaitan our friend? How can we make shaitan our friend, our colleague? That he's bribing you. He's bribing you of maal, money. Here, take some money, yaar. Why do you go to pray Salah? Shaitan says, look, money's come in your pocket. You're happy now, comfortable, nice life. You don't need to pray Salah, shaitan says. Ask a person who stood at the shop and his business is flourishing at Salah time. Money's coming, counting the income, profit. And the more Salahs he leaves, the more he gets rich because Shaitan's bribing his customer. That's his mission, Shaitan's. That I don't want to connect you to Allah. I'll sever your tie with Allah, Shaitan says. And I will share with you a unique story. Shaitan, you know, devil, shaitan, Satan. He doesn't use one method to deviate us. Do you understand what I'm saying? He doesn't just have one tactic to deviate someone. He bribes us, he gives us money, wealth. And in one era, there was an abid, the worshipper. There was a pious person like you pious people. He had a beard, he had a mama, good libas, didn't look around left, right, salih, righteous, upright person. He didn't even know the definition of sin. And Shaitan met with his workers, his devils, was every evening the destruction comes for an individual. Yes, and they'll be stood there with their guns, you know, said, what's this sabak he's giving to people? Say subhanAllah. So shaitan sets his workers free on a good person. But who protects? Allah is the one who protects. Even with me, I experienced that. That who can give me negative? Allah says, don't worry, from every angle, I will take you out of the challenge. Just speak the truth. That even if you don't have a hope of escaping from shaitan, Allah says, I'll release you from the chains of shaitan. If you speak the truth, that's why I speak openly with the truth. Openly. Do I speak the truth or not? Tell me. Then, I've experienced in my life that Allah Ta'ala takes me away from the attacks of shaitan. Allah says, me and you, our relationship is strong. Don't worry, just speak the truth. You have nothing to worry about. Allah says, I'll protect you. So, the friend of Allah is a righteous, pious servant. He didn't know how to look at women or girls, or to use the eyes wrongly. What zina, adultery, how to drink alcohol. He knew nothing about wrong in his life. He was pious. Nowadays today, Mawlana Sahib comes to lead the salah. He looks at his phone first, then he comes in. Isn't Mawlana Sahib? Yeah? Yeah? Please put the phone off. You're entering the masjid. At least put the phone off now. They start looking at all things. You'll have seen that. Servant of Allah, you've come here to lead salah. Have some haya. At that time, if you see something, I see him. And he's bumping into the door. He doesn't know where the door is. He's looking at the phone, the screen. Regularly I've seen this in masjid. I'm not saying here, but regularly in masjids I've seen. And you'll have seen this yourself. He's coming and he has to lead the salah of Fajr, salah in the morning, Imam Sahib, and the musallis will be his musallis if he's like that himself, told me. This is today those who've graduated from Darul Uloom, mashallah. So what was I saying? What was that story? The friend of Allah. So that friend of Allah, shaitan met with his work. He said, what work are you doing, stupid people? Shaitan said that this person, you're trying to trick people, do this, do that. Can't you control this man? This pious man? His workers, they said, oh shaitan, devil, we can't control him. He's so pious, too good. We try the hardest. They said, you're stupid. Quickly make a decision or I'll destroy all of you. Shaitan said, I'm telling you a unique story here. Listen, in my style, I'm telling you. My style. So that shaitan then, the head, because they're big, big shaitans and his workers are strong as well. He said, yes, you get up. You've got a solution? He said, I've got a plan, he said. Shaitan. And he said, about who? He said, that person who's pious, righteous, and he saved himself from fitna, and he thinks he's dignified. And shaitan said, what's that? How much money? He said, there's lots of money for you if you do good. Because shaitan gives money to his workers. The more salah you leave, the more shaitan rewards his workers. Remember this, I'm telling you. Yes, the more you'll pass the test. If you leave salah in the morning, you think you'll pass the test. If you leave salah in the morning, you think you get more money in the day. So shaitan makes you think this. Shaitan. You understand what I'm saying? He's whispering in your ears. Might look weird or sound weird, but this is what happens. A person leaves salah. Oh, I'll get more money, or I'll get more success in the dunya. Shaitan's whispering to you. That's his mission. He gives you big bribes to take you away from the path of Allah. And he makes you run the shop, business, trade, gives you nice cars, big houses. These are those people who have nothing in their deen. Nothing. They look for dunya. Allahu Akbar. Weird. It might sound weird, but this is the reality. So, he said that, look, everything, he says, I've got a tactic, the work of shaitan. Said, how to pull on this pious person and turn him upside down. Shaitan said, then go do your work and quickly come back to me the report. He said, okay, I'll tell you. He said, I've got my file ready, record. You know, each devil has his own file, it's in his pocket. And he went on his mission and he arrived to the masjid. And he stood next to that pious person. And he was crying in sajda. Remember this? Listen, he's crying in prostration, doing du'as, tears are coming out, his beard full, imamah, turban. And he looks shaitan, he said, where have you come from? The pious person said, well, maybe you know someone else pious has come here. Say subhanAllah. He's in the form of a man, shaitan, come to deviate him. Do you understand? Put your hands up if up to now you understand what I'm saying. You're not sleeping, are you? Okay, put your hands down. Listen carefully. So shaitan, he was next to that man, and he said, I'm dunya, I'm from the dunya. And he cried a lot. He saw this, that this person's better than me. He's crying, he's a muttaki, he's praying. New person, he was ashamed, the pious person. He said, that to this maqam level, how did you get to this piety? Because a good person always asks another person, you're pious, you're good. How much taqwa you've got? How did you become a strong believer? What did you do? Please tell me a method. And then look at shaitan's trickery. MashaAllah. Shaitan was there, such a pious person, how he trapped that person. And me and you, what are we in comparison to him? The more the sins you do, the more rich we'll be. I'll tell you now, you'll understand that. That point. Yeah? The more cars, the more number plates, the more holidays. Understand what I'm saying. This is the bribery of Shaitan. Because he's making you leave Salah. He doesn't pray Salah. Yeah? And there's no Quran. Nothing at all. Be distance from the deen. Day and night, just dunya. So, he said, don't take bad what I'm saying, Hazrat. You're pious, but you can't get to my rank. And the good person said, how can I not get to your rank? Why can't I get to your status of piety? The shaitan said, to get to my rank level, you have to do a special action. He said, what's that? He said, you don't even have to cry to Allah. Have you ever asked Allah for forgiveness? He said, I ask Allah for forgiveness all the time. For what? He said. He said, you're doing wrong. Have you done any sin? He said, astaghfirullah. Allah, then see how shaitan trapped him. Say subhanallah. Shaitan said to him, have you done any sin? He said, how can I ask Allah for forgiveness? I've not done wrong. He said, have you done a sin? He said, no. He said, have you done zina ever? He said, subhanallah. He said, come on. This is the maqam. That's how I've got this level after sinning. Yes, I was sinful. I used to do zina, self forgiveness. I did tawbah, and my status went up. Shaitan says to him, and he's thinking, Yar, ooh, that's a weird method. I've not heard till now. He said, there's enjoyment in tawbah. Let me show you this verse of the Quran. Because it's in the Quran, isn't it? Or not? So Shaitan showed him the verse. He said, yeah, he's being truthful. He said, you've done no sin. You haven't done wrong. You don't know what is zina, adultery. You've not enjoyed zina. And you will feel guilty, you will cry to Allah, you will ask Allah for protection. Well, you're just doing sajda. That person's thinking. He said, what shall I do now? He said, go and do zina, Shaitan said. Then see how more than me you will cry, you'll be guilty. And he's trapping him in this sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen to this. He said, zina, how can I do zina? How can I do adultery, fornication? He said, no worries, Shaitan said. Don't worry. And he bribes. He said, I'll tell you. He said, look, I give you 5 rupees, because that was rupees time. He says, here's 5 rupees, go to the marketplace. There's a woman stood there, give her some money. And just night time, so no one knows. Put some cloth on your face, no one recognizes you. And what street shall I go down? He said, stupid person, go left there, go right there, the bazaar is there. Women, you'll see them, they stood there at the doors. Just go to any of those women. I know there's a woman that 2 rupees she takes. Hey, I'll give you 5. That's why I became like this, he said. So he's thinking, the pious person, so shall I do that? The more you'll get than that. He says, I'll give more. Go and do zina. I'm just here. And I'll meet you in the morning at Fajr time after Fajr. And then we'll cry together. So he went, the 2 rupees, he went out. And when he went, the women he saw, he went inside. And that bazaari women, you know, the women out on the streets. And he went inside, he said, Maulana, where are you? You come to the wrong place, the woman said. Where are you going, Maulana sahab? Because she was surprised. This is not masjid, she said to him. Where are you? Which wrong turning have you taken? He said, I want to meet. She said, who do you want to meet? He said, I think you've forgotten your way. What's this? That you've gone into the night. This is my house. He said, I've come to your house. She said, why here? Take 2 rupees. She says, 2 rupees? He said, okay, please come. She said, come in. He went inside. She sat him down. She said, Mawlana, your face, your parents, your noor, your face, it cannot be for this action. What trick are you fallen into? Where have you come to? He said, please, you don't know nothing. Please, just accept my request. Please, I love you. She said that, is this true? Do you know what is it, Ashka? The person you love, you are. You love Allah, she said. You do love Allah. And what has he done? That he kept the bed, imama, and a fasha, or a look at the woman, and what is what she's saying to him? She said that you cannot love a woman, she said to him. I'm a fahash, I'm an immodest woman, I'm dirty, impure, and you are pure, and you are noor, and you have a relationship with someone else, Allah. Who has this deviated you? She said, and then she had understanding, she had experience. She was sat there in a workplace, she said, tell me the story. What's the background of you coming here? Then she said, tell me the story, what's happened to you that you've come? He said, nothing. She said, tell me the truth, Mawlana Sahab, you don't lie, I know you don't lie. What's the story behind you coming here to me? He said there was a man, and he was pious, righteous, abid, worshipper, and he told me all these things that go find a woman. I've come here now to find you. She said, wow. She said, you didn't even understand this much, that you were forgotten, That was shaitan who was deviating you. That's his mission. That he wants to break our connection with Allah. And you, how can he like you so much that he didn't want you to get to a higher level and piety? So shaitan who came to you physically himself, it's not for you, go and do tawbah for even what you've just done now. He was deviating you, he trapped you, and his eyes opened, glared open suddenly. And in the darkness he hid his face and went back. And he just arrived home, true story, I'm telling you, true story. And in the morning the news came, that woman, she passed away. That woman had passed away, that immodest woman. And she died, and the pray Salah, they said, we're not praying Salah. And you know, like the olden days, she's a wasteful woman, they said, she's immodest, sinful, no one's going to pray the janazah. Every mulana rejected. They knew that she was zani. Yes, they said, just bury her like that, we're not going to pray janazah Salah. And the most muttaqi person at that time of the village, Allah showed him a dream. And that person Allah instructed, go, that woman, she has died. Go, you openly publicize and say and read and lead her janazah salah. And I will show you her rank in paradise, Allah said. You understand the story now? And she passed away, the janazah salah was led, and people were amazed, and he was amazed himself, that this woman, that Allah is saying, that how can Allah say, nobody can reject Allah's instruction. So Allah Ta'ala then explained, inspired him, that she, one of my beloved servants, pious servants, she saved him, he was drowning. But this is my promise, that a person who has a connection with me strong, I definitely will protect that person. Understand now the point? So Allah says that whilst the person drowning, I dragged that person out of drowning. So that woman, yeah, he couldn't even believe that she will save him. That woman fulfilled that role. Allah says, my rahmah, mercy came into being. That my beloved servant, pious servant, she saved him. I gave her the high rank in paradise for her action. Say subhanallah. So my colleagues, my brothers, we have no protection. Today we haven't, and we'll be saved, we think? Tell me. How much strength shaitan, he will attack us, deviate us, waswasa in our ears, in our heart, evil temptations. That sheikh, a woman, I'll give you an example now. And can this be? It's possible. It's possible that a woman's come to change herself. What is changing? That she's leaving the love of the dunya and she wants the love of the world. And that's why a person goes to a sheikh, a teacher. That's why a person goes, isn't it? That I want to shun the love of the world and I want to take the love of Allah. And if somebody comes, a woman, that I am seeking Allah's love. And if that sheikh then love, who's in love with her? It's a test, isn't it? It's a challenge. You understand what I'm saying? So how much protection have we got? That always the peer, the sheikh, what he should do is that behind the barrier, the veil, the screen, he should speak to the woman. Give bayah behind the screen, not face to face. But the fares should arrive to the student. The sheikh should be there. Yes, otherwise she will lose out from the fares, the blessings. This is the verse of bayah that was revealed for the women folk at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. That's why I said, my Nabi, the believing women will come to you to take bayah. They are the adab, the sisters of high level, high status. But when shaitan deviates us, the woman is leaving the dunya, she's coming to you, then he trapped the sheikh fell in love with the woman. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because how shaitan gave the waswasa. So she forgot her mission, that I came to get the love of Allah, and she also loved, she said, I love you, and he said, I love you. They forgot their mission. Say subhanallah. They forgot their objective. So this happens. This can happen. And sometimes the shaykh's up. If he's weak, then he's gone as well. Hasn't shaitan done his work? So the same shaitan says that Allah will never allow your servant to maintain his connection with you, Allah. Shaitan has given that promise. Today in dhikr, so many people are sad. Just five. And they say, we are courageous. I can swear and say, by Allah, that nobody has protection, iman, there's no guarantee that what will happen to our iman. Yes, which Quran do we say that we've got Quran and Bukhari and we've got Hadith? Inside we need to look at ourselves. Inside. That the shaitan is about to attack us morning and evening, who's, he's swimming in the veins of our blood. And he's got permission from Allah. But Allah says that shaitan will attack you, but apart from those people who I protect, Allah says shaitan cannot attack them. He cannot influence them. Those who are protected. Yes, there's just a few people sat here today. That's it. And all of you are mashallah jannati. You are broken down, we are weak, but we are jannati. We are inshallah destined to paradise because we are seeking Allah's protection. You're not some minor person that Allah selects you and brings you here. Look here. The whole of Bolton and Manchester field. How many people are doing this work, this effort to receive Allah's protection? How many? Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. We also have come like this. We don't know reward will we get, will get anything. But we don't know what's really happening here. There nobody can give a guarantee. No Imam Marala, no Shaykhul Hadith, no one. Imam Razi, rahmatullah, what was his situation? Imam Razi, mufassir, commentator, mufakkar, speaker. What qualities were not present in his life? He was cool. He used to give dalil, fail, dalil, proof to shaitan, proof to shaitan. 100 proofs he gave to shaitan at the time of death. And shaitan cancelled all of them. He said, now tell me, where's your God? But then the shaykh eventually came in use to him, Shaykh Razi. Shaykh Razi. Imam Razi, he's not some minor scholar. Lots of knowledge. But he failed in front of shaitan. So me and you, how can we be confident? We've got ilm and knowledge and we have khutbah and we say, we imam, we don't need no protection. Tomorrow we'll realize when it's time of death and shaitan will surround us. At that time recite the kalima. Then tell me that you've recited kalima. Kalima only that person will recite at the time of death who practiced the deen of Allah the way Allah wanted him to. This, that about whom Allah says, until death you must do this action, because the real challenge is at the time of death. At that time for the human being, salah, fasting, hajj, zakat, that's when they'll come in use to us. Shaitan with full power will attack us and will say to us, I will not let you die with iman. Only that person will be saved. As a Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Rasulullah said, I've told you everything, but you'll only be saved at that time when your tongue is moist with dhikrullah at the time of death. Yeah, that Mu'adh bin Jabal was not some small scale sahabi, he was not some minor sahabi. About no other sahabi has a hadith come, I've not seen it, maybe you have seen this, but I haven't. As a Mu'adh was stood and he was told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Mu'adh, my companion, I love you. Allahu Akbar, the Prophet is saying to his companion. Even Sadiq did not get this statement. I don't know you alim scholars, but as long as I've read, these words I've not heard where the Prophet ﷺ addressed, O Mu'adh, my companion. Yes, O Prophet ﷺ. He stood in front of him. I love you, O Mu'adh, said the Prophet ﷺ. Imagine. And then he cried so much that he hid his face. So that because maybe we will not meet after today. Maybe you won't be able to see me. What love, imagine, the Prophet ﷺ had for Mu'adh. And the Prophet ﷺ is saying to Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu, that even you only at that time will say, Mu'adh, there's no guarantee of iman. Only at that time that what Allah Ta'ala wants, that in that state you leave this world. And if your Rabb desires, and protection is only in one thing. Protection, if you want to protect yourself at the time of death, is only one way. Dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah, is the only thing. And you think I'm mad that I invite you to dhikr because Ali Murtaza, my sheikh, he injected that love into me. He was the greatest kamil, best sheikh of his time, was my sheikh, Ali Murtaza. Yes, and you don't do dhikr to become a wali Allah, you don't do dhikr to get titles or to get status or to become a khalifa or to become wali Allah. We do dhikr so that we can protect our iman all the time up to death. That's why we do dhikrullah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listen to his hadith, sahih hadith in Bayhaqi ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, narrates this hadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that I instruct you, I order you, said the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I order you, instruct you, that do dhikr of Allah in abundance, regularly, consistently. Order, instruction. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying these words. Just like the father says to the son, that I tell you, leave this action. He's angry on the son for this reason, because there's a big loss for you if you don't leave this action. It's a hukam. I order you, if you don't drive the car like this, I'll do you. So much anger at that time the father has. So what is the anger saying? That this is a wrong action you're doing, it'll destroy you. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the whole ummah, he's saying, MashaAllah, rahmatul alameen, mercy to the universe, how much he loved the universe, to the whole ummah. Rasulullah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I order you, save your iman and do dhikrullah in abundance, otherwise you will not be saved. No, I can't do dhikr of Allah. Just those five people, they know about dhikr. They know, I don't know, I'm not going to go. Do you understand now what is dhikrullah? Ashika, you say you're lovers of the Prophet, but you don't know what is love for Allah and His Rasul. Allah's Rasul says, I order you, I instruct you, remember Allah consistently, abundantly. He gave that. And he said, your enemy Shaitan. Do you know your enemy Shaitan? And how you save yourself from the enemy? This is the meaning of the hadith I'm explaining to you. The hadith. That when behind you, when an enemy runs after you, and the enemy, you finding a place where you can protect yourself from the enemy. Means that you run away from the enemy. If there's enemy running after you to kill you or hit you, you're trying to find a place. I want to hide somewhere. Get away from this enemy. Because you're looking for protection. Refuge. It happened with me. I was driving my car. I was going to my business place. I remember this old event. And there was a silent place. And I was careful that I don't want to park in the wrong place. It's a sin. It's a wrong thing. That, for example, in the country here, we shouldn't break the sin. Break the rules in this country is a sin. So I wouldn't park somewhere. The penalty comes a fine. I'll have to pay for it. That's a test, a challenge for a person. So it was a quiet place. There were gangsters there, criminals there, people do wrong actions there. So I went there and I was alone myself totally. And I was like a Mulana Sahib type person or religious type person. And they all surrounded me. They looked at me, surrounded me. They thought I was weak. And they couldn't dare to hit me. And I felt that they wanted to hit me. Actually, it was very challenging for me. Test, I kept on moving. I recited Surah Yasin. Kept on walking. They're coming after me. And he's looking at me. Grab him. Let's grab him. Otherwise, he'll go. He'll escape. And how did they want to hit me? Probably they wanted to get something from me. I'm telling you that how a person is saved, the hadith came in front of me in the same way. So I was walking, they're walking after me quickly. And then as soon as I walked, then from where I used to buy the stock, I knew that this is the door where I get the stock from. Little door, small door here at the back. Allah Ta'ala saves the person then. So when I got there, suddenly I quickly opened the door and went inside. And they didn't know that was a door there. As soon as I went inside, they ran away. So at least I could breathe easy. And they were a bit surprised. The person, huh? Farooqi Sahib, how comes you come in suddenly this time? And how do you come from this door? I said, don't worry about that. Just give me water first. I just relaxed at that time. So that's the same hadith. That when the enemy is after you and you have no protection, and if you find a place of protection and you quickly go inside and hide there, how much that time you feel so much relaxed and calm. I've just shared you that event. How much you can imagine. I felt relief. Relief at the time, I relaxed. 10 minutes I sat there holding my hands. Allah, if they grabbed me, maybe they would have beat me or something. I don't know what would happen to me at that time. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam present the hadith. That when the enemy is running after you, and the enemy is running after you to give you harm, and to save yourself, to get refuge, suddenly you find such a fort or a castle, suddenly you enter into that place of protection, you're safe from the enemy. So I'll give you the example of my real life example I gave to you. Just so you can understand. So, he stated, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the same example applies here. The example, real example is here, that behind you, your enemy already is running after you to kill off your iman, to consume your iman. Shaitan's running after you. Constantly, if you want to be saved from shaitan, come and lock yourself in the fort and the castle of dhikrullah. Subhanallah. So how much will you be saved? Listen to the hadith there. So much you'll be saved, that Allah will become your protector, your savior. And we make a fuss, I don't have time for doing dhikr, I don't know, after 3 weeks you disappear, after 2 days you come. My children, my colleagues, Allah's favor, those who are ungrateful, we cannot imagine how ungrateful we are. At the time of death when it comes, and when we'll see the maut, the severity of death, then we'll remember dhikr gatherings, that what were we doing at that time? How we used to make a fuss and criticize dhikr, run away from it. How much did we have manners for the shaykh? How much did we listen to the shaykh, to the teacher? And what rubbish we spoke against him and against the gathering of dhikr. And did this much we value dhikr of Allah? Then we'll remember the time of death. The Rasulullah ﷺ gave us the solution and we ran away from it. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Verily dhikr is the greatest. That Allah Ta'ala wants to save us when we're dying. If you want to be saved with iman at the time of death, nothing will save us. Then if it did, If it did, that's why Rasulullah said to Mu'adh, his companion, the solution, dhikrullah. There are three hadith on this topic of Mu'adh ibn Jabal's event. Three different narrations. Three give us the same meaning. That the last time of your life or death, what will you be useful for you? Dhikrullah. That will save us. Nothing else. Everything else you'll forget. Imam Razi forgot the proofs and he couldn't answer shaitan. Then what will today's Mawlana Sahib say at the time of death? Hadith? Isn't it Mawlana Sahib? Huh? Imam Razi, he got tricked and he was dizzy and he put his hands up in front of shaitan. Allah says, no worries. You will be successful. You went to a wali Allah for guidance. He went, didn't Imam Razi? And his sheikh came. He then turned to his sheikh. But the same Mawlana, then he saw the example. Subhanallah, his shaykh came and used to him at that time when he was under the stress from shaitan. My brothers, Allah has given us protection. We should protect ourselves. You will not be safe from shaitan. This is hadith. Shaitan, the devil, what does he do? Shaitan, he sat on your heart and he has got his place in your heart. Completely he's inside you, sitting on your heart, and he pierces your heart. His children, he lays the eggs, and everything is flowing inside your body. He'll make you this sometimes, he'll make you this sometimes, he'll make you this sometimes. I'll give you examples. The girl came for him, and the girl fell in love with the teacher. And the sheikh's up, what will he do then? When the woman's in love with him? Tell me. You understand what I'm saying? The same way, shaitani deviates a person. I'll tell you the story of the wali Allah, the pious person. And then she went to the modest woman and she went to do his work. If that woman was a woman of earning money and she had no fear of Allah, it was Allah who saved him. Yes, Mawlana Sahib, he would have come out free from iman in the morning. But shaitan had done his work. Yeah, take the money. After this is the duty I give to you. He said, I made him come out of iman. So fear Allah. My brothers, my colleagues, fear Allah. Don't trust yourself. Don't rely on yourself. On this, on your iman, on your deen, on your practice, the path Allah has given to us, the solution, do my dhikr of Allah, doesn't matter what type of Muslim you are. Even if you're a high level Muslim, go to the door of the faqir, the wali Allah, submit yourself and learn dhikr of Allah. Otherwise you won't succeed. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of this is the trickery of shaitan. He's Brelwi, Deobandi, Ahladi, Salafi. Shaitan has tricked all the whole ummah. What's the straight path? Surah Al-Fatiha recited. End of story. You learn the real path, the straight path from Surah Al-Fatiha. You have to be afraid of two people in the world. Who? Save yourself from two people. The Quran is telling us, اِدْنَا سِرَاطُ مُسْتَقِيمْ سِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah says, save yourself from two. Don't worry about anything else after that. Don't fall into arguments. Don't waste your time. Don't debate. Don't make enmity with people. Save yourself from the two that Allah has ordered us to save ourselves from. And automatically you will get the straight path after that. Automatically you will get the straight path after that. Those insan, that, and you will find the person who will put you in the straight path, but you will forget the wrong you're doing. You say, the person, this is the path. This person I've met, he's the pious person. I sought Allah. I sought from Allah the straight path. Allah showed me the good company. And all the arguments will finish. The iman that this person has, the teacher, I went to my Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh. I had no questions. Are you Deobandi, Brelwi, Aladi, Salafi, Ghal Mukallad, Sunni? I had no questions in my head. Why? Because that person, when I sat in his company and I got the connection with Allah, what's left after that? What's left after that? What's the need to ask questions after that if I found the connection to Allah? There's no need to ask any questions after that. This is the straight path, the right path of the path of my sheikh, my teacher. Yeah, totally the right path, I found it. Never did I ask my sheikh, what's this question, take no point. Whatever he did. Whoever he praised, the mashaykh, I would praise them. Until today, I've praised the same people that my sheikh praised. Alhamdulillah, because I have no concern with anything else. That mashallah, they all the crowns on her head, that those people who my sheikh held in high esteem, I do the same. They say, Ula Qabirin of Deoband, the pious elders of Deoband, that's it. Yes, there was no differentiation between them, they had no difference of opinion. The fares has come from them, the blessings has come from them. So we have no dislike of anyone, we don't hate anyone, we don't say bad to any Muslim. We say we are on this path to Allah, this is the right path. And we will tell other people, well, whatever you are, this is the path if you want to get to Allah, and just follow this path. That's it. We aren't enemies of anyone, we don't criticize anyone, we don't mock anyone, we don't look down anyone. Say Subhanallah. The true person, if he's true, then his face will testify that he's true. His face. The false and liar person, their falsehood will be shown. That doesn't matter how much he combs his beard and hair and shows his face, but it will show that he's a liar. My brothers, protection if we need of our iman, If we want to be protected from calamities and tragedies, no one can guarantee what's going to happen tomorrow, today. What will be the state of my iman tomorrow? At the time of death, what will be iman? We are so weak. We are in a very bad generation. Fitna is all around us. Darkness, shaitan's in our pocket, shaitan's on our right and our left, shaitan's in our houses, shaitan has his workers everywhere, and it's very hard to save ourselves, and Allah says, I'll give you the solution. SubhanAllah, what Rasulullah said, that I order you, instruct you, do dhikrullah in abundance. As much as you can. Will we do this, my colleagues? True promise? Don't say tomorrow we didn't know, I died and I failed. Allah say, you stupid person, I explained everything to you whilst you were alive. So if you want it, then just do dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. And the path will open up for you. Success will open up for you. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Brothers asked me, that how do you prepare the daras? I said, I don't prepare the daras. Those people who sit in front of me, the brothers, they prepare me. They prepare me. Look, I keep on looking at the colleagues and I keep speaking because Allah knows what they want. If you know, then call me, then I can't speak on my own if there's nobody around me. My colleagues are there and they inspire me, they encourage me. Every one of my talks and dars is different and unique. Yes, mashallah, I think more than 2,500 dars. And you can see all of them, they're unique and different. I say to my colleagues, every day listen to one bayan each day. And that's enough for you, alhamdulillah. Every day in your car while you're traveling, one of my bayans, listen to every day. That I don't even know myself that I've given that bayan, those words. Sometimes say that, how do you speak? I say that it's you sitting in your sincerity allowing me to speak like this. They say, SubhanAllah, great topic. And I hear it myself. I say, even after this, people don't improve themselves. I'll tell you the truth here. One person from Makkah, we went to Medina, and the taxi person, he had a connection with him, with me. And he said, can you put this bayan in? Put bayan in. And he was sat there like this, the driver. Then, mashallah, he was intoxicated by Makkah, Medina. And then after a while, he stood up a bit. And that person's telling me. After a while, then he sat up alert. And then he saw him, the bayan's running. And he said, then he said to me, that, sir, who is this person who's speaking like this? SubhanAllah. He said, this is my sheikh, my teacher. He said, amazing. He looks like a true lover of Allah. He said, where does he live? He said, lives in England, UK. He said, UK. So listen to my bayan. Listen to my bayans. It's not my bayan, it's from Allah. It's ilham, inspiration. Inspiration. And Allah, you are responsible for that, mashallah, yourself. Allah's mercy descends when Allah sees your love to prepare you. Allah Ta'ala allows me to say beautiful words. It's not me, it's not my achievement, I'm nothing. I don't know anything, I'm not educated. Yeah, I'm just jahil illiterate, I don't know anything. This is your achievement, the Quran comes, the hadith come, in the beyond the verses I recite, I share everything with you, mashallah, due to your sincerity. So today, did you like today's beyond or not, tell me? Before this, I've not heard this, I've never heard words like this, protection, where will we be caught out, what will save us from shaitan, such great discussion today. Practical solutions to our life problems, fully practically, and complete bayan, that you cannot say that we left something out at the end, we didn't complete the bayan. From beginning to end, A to Z, it's a complete bayan with a solution for us, and we attain a lesson, a learning, before the end. Is this the case or not? So value this, appreciate this, look how much Allah loves you, how much Allah loves me. In this day and age, Allah is saving us. Us, our family, our children, our colleagues, how Allah is saving us. We shouldn't be arrogant and stubborn, severe punishment for being ungrateful. We should fear Allah. And make your children fear Allah. And bring them to dhikrullah. Now this, he's a scholar, Hafiz Quran, leave this rubbish nonsense titles. Become a, say my son's a dhakir, my children is a dhakir. Or dhakirin. That's the solution. All the fussiness will come out when you sit down to the dhikr. All the titles and the fussiness and the haughtiness and pride. Totally a person gets fine. Isn't it, Mulana Sahib? He forgets everything about himself. All the sins come out. Dhikrullah shows a person all of his sins. Like spiders, scorpions and snakes crawling around. Okay, recite Durood Sharif. Inshallah, then we do dhikrullah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين طه وياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا قديرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا ومدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا اشف مرادنا اشف مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا اله الا انت. انڈیا سے خاتون ہیں جن کے خاندان یہاں خدمت بھی کرتے ہیں مسجد کے اندر, وہ سخت بیمار ہو گئی ہیں, ان کو کینسر کو بتایا گیا ہے, ان کے لیے دعا فرمائیں اللہ پاک ان کی جلد سے جلد علاج بھی ہو جائے اور شفا بھی ہو جائے اور اس پہ اجر بھی نصیب ہو جائے. ایک اور ہیں ہمارے ساتھی تھے جو گزر چکے ہیں بیچارے, بہت ہی اچھے پیارے ذکر کرنے والے آدمی تھے, کووڈ میں ان کا انتقال ہوا, آج ان کی بیٹی سخت بیمار ہے اور زندگی اور موت کی کشمکش میں ہے. اللہ چاہے تو زندگی دے دے, اللہ چاہے تو اپنے پاس بلا لے, مہران بہت بری حالت میں ہے, دعا فرمائے اللہ پاک ان کے لیے آسانی فرمائے, اگر ان کے لیے حیات مقدر ہے تو اللہ حیات نصیب فرمائے, اگر واپس بلانا ہی مقدر ہے تو میرے مولا ایمان کی حالت میں واپس بلائے, ان کی مسلمان کو بھی صبر دے, اس کو بھی صبر دے اور اجر عطا فرمائے. اسی طرح اور بھی ساتھی ہیں ہمارے جنہوں نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے, بیمار ہیں بیچارے, ان کے لیے بھی دعا فرمائیں. ایک صاحب برمنگھم ہے, ان کی بہن نے کہا ہے ان کی دعاؤں کے لیے, وہ بیمار ہیں, ہارٹ کے کوئی بیماری ان کو ہوئی ہے, اس کے لیے بیمار ہیں, بیمار فرمائیں. میں نے ان سے سرچ کیا تھا, ہر روز مصیبتوں کے طوفان ہیں, بس ایک علاج ہے اللہ کے ساتھ اپنے تعلقات کو ہم بحال کر لیں. کس طریقے سے؟ اللہ کے ذکر کے ساتھ انسان پروٹیکٹ ہو جاتا ہے وبال سے, مصیبتوں سے, پریشانیوں سے. اللہ پاک ہم سب کی حفاظت فرمائے, ہمارے ایمانوں کی حفاظت فرمائے, ہمارے گھروں کی حفاظت فرمائے, ہمارے آخری وقت کی حفاظت فرمائے, ہماری عبادات کی حفاظت فرمائے. اللہ تعالیٰ ہمیں پورا پروٹیکشن عطا فرمائے, دن رات ذکر کے ساتھ ہمیں شغل نصیب فرمائے, ذاکرین کے ساتھ بیٹھنا نصیب فرمائے, ذکر کرنے والوں سے دوستی نصیب فرمائے. یا اللہ ہمارے اس وقت کو قیمتی بنائے, ہر سانس کو قیمتی بنائے, جو وقت ہم دنیا میں گزاریں صرف ضرورت کے لیے گزاریں, اے میرے مولا بارے باقی وقت تمام تیری یاد میں گزارنے کی توفیق نصیب فرمائے, ہر وقت توبہ استغفار ہمارے زبانوں پر جاری فرما میرے مولا. یا اللہ تو آج کی مجلس کو قبول فرما, جو ہم نے سنا جو کہا میرے مولا اپنی بارگاہ میں قبول فرما, ہماری صلاح کا باعث بنا میرے مولا. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وعلیہ صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ.